This is Leo Baybue for KTWH 99.5 FM. I've got our Lake County Emergency Manager, B.J. Colstead, on the phone. B.J., hi. How are you today?
Hello, Leo. Well, we're all busy, but it's going well. Thank you.
Yeah, I realized today that early on, just at the beginning of March, the end of the first week of March, we started to realize that this COVID-19 situation was going to be of a pandemic proportion. And I talked to you on March 10th, and we spoke about how things were shaping up. You gave us a lot of good information, a lot of good directives about where the good authoritative information was going to come out of. And we were pretty cautious. At that time, you even talked about perhaps face coverings being useful. And then we wound up editing that out because that was not yet vetted information. And we've learned a lot about COVID-19 and community spread. And we've heard an unbelievable amount of information and disagreement about how to interpret some of the scientific information. And you've been staffing, leading the emergency management in Lake County throughout all of this. What are the key highlights that you would share with the public about where we stand in this pandemic? I know, you know, you can look at public health statistics, and amazingly enough, Lake County has still zero confirmed cases of COVID-19. So exactly where do we stand in this county, one of nine that don't have any confirmed cases, even though right next door in St. Louis County, they have 53 cases and 10 deaths?
You're right, Leo. We are fortunate. We are one of nine counties in the state that does not have any confirmed cases yet. However, we are assuming that with community transmission now being the greatest cause or transmission rate being the greatest transmission method, we're assuming that is true in Lake County as well, and that we have community transmission going on here and probably have cases in Lake County. Part of the reason that we're unsure of that is because, as people know, testing supplies are in critical short supply in Minnesota. So currently, the Minnesota Department of Public of Health is only testing people who are ill and showing symptoms, and if they're healthcare workers, they're hospitalized, or if they're in congregate care facilities. So that does limit the testing, and we do assume there is COVID here, but you're right that we are very lucky because if there were people with severe symptoms in Lake County, they probably would have been tested and we would have heard about it. So Minnesota Department of Health is the agency that we rely upon to let us know that data.
Are you in networks of emergency managers and healthcare providers and the Department of Health such that you'll get a sense of when the testing capacity is dramatically ramped up so that we'll be able to do testing over 14 days to see whether we really are ready to be fully out of a stay-at-home policy?
Sure. We're in contact. We have a virtual emergency operations center set up virtually just like everyone else. We're not meeting in person, but we're in constant contact through webinars and emails and phone calls. And we are working with Lake County Emergency Management and Lake County Health and Human Services, along with our regional and state partners, including the Minnesota Department of Health and the Homeland Security Emergency Management. So, yeah, the Minnesota Department of Health, MDH, are the ones who would let us know if and when we have our confirmed case or more in Lake County.
Yeah, and I guess I was referring to the fact that you were willing to concede that we probably don't have the testing capacity to test across the state enough people with whether or not demonstrating symptoms to really get a feel for what the impact of our stay-at-home policy is having. And when do we get there to have that capacity?
Yeah, we don't know at this time when we will get there, but the truth of the matter is, and people know, that the symptoms of COVID are shortness of breath and fever. So if you have any of those symptoms and coughing, they just encourage us to stay home and treat it as if it were any other flu-like illness.
Right.
And we can assume it's COVID or we can assume it's not. But the fact is it doesn't really matter because the treatment is the same and there is no vaccine. So until you have serious symptoms, that's when we want you to call your healthcare provider and let them know and to call them in advance before you go in.
BJ, I would presume that your department, your part of Lake County, is really responding to the cues that come from our state government. In other words, there is a stay-at-home order in effect, and social distancing has been defined, and your goal is to help aid and abet the effectiveness of those policies.
Yeah, our board and our Lake County Public Health folks and myself, Emergency Management, we're all supporting the governor's mitigation strategies, which of course include social distancing and now wearing masks and staying at home if you can, limiting your travel to essential services. or requirements. So I know we've had some comments from the public. Some people, of course, there's a whole spectrum of perspective here. Some people think that we should be opening businesses sooner and welcoming tourists back, and some people think we should be not doing it as much as we are and being more strictly enforcing the governor's orders. But right now, the governor's encouraging us to educate and encourage, and not so much to enforce those orders, but just to help people realize that this is making a difference. This is slowing the curve, which is the goal of this, and the purpose of that is to save lives, and that is working.
Indeed. I was curious because you're in more than northern part of the county, at least north of where we are, Two Harbors Community Radio, and I don't know how much you're out and about, but we have observed, for instance, people masking to try to keep themselves from spreading in a number of public places. Particularly, you'll see it in the grocery store, and I don't know if you've observed that and what your observations are in general about how people are adhering to the social distancing and community spread recommendations.
Yeah, we are hearing examples of both people who are being very proactive and doing it well and encouraging others and trying to support our older citizens and our more vulnerable citizens. And then we're also hearing the opposite. We're hearing concerns from people about either vendors or other public sites where people are not practicing social distancing and wearing masks and washing hands and trying to be respectful and thoughtful of others as well as themselves. So we're encouraging it. We want to put a shout out to vendors, especially in business places who are doing that. I've heard from about Super One that they're doing a fantastic job with tips as you walk into the store, and there are other places doing the same. So we appreciate that.
So in addition to giving props to people that are doing well, is any one entity really tasked with checking in with businesses or particular activities that don't seem to be paying much attention to these standards?
Well, we do meet. We meet monthly. We meet weekly with all of our response partners, and that does include the Chamber of Commerce representing some of our businesses. So we do work with them to encourage people, vendors, and other businesses to promote these positive mitigation activities. We don't want to highlight people that aren't or situations that aren't. We just want to continue to encourage them all. And one of the ways that we can encourage them is through public feedback, social media, et cetera. And I think we are making it known what they prefer and what they hope that our vendors and businesses and tourists, hotels and resorts will be the measures that they will be taking to try to promote these safety measures.
Well, certainly we could all understand that somebody with a small business concern is worried about literally their economic survival at some point. And what has been your primary response to folks that just say, I don't think this is necessary, we need to get back to whatever business as usual might have been?
Well, it is the same thing that the governor has been saying. Minnesota, according to the CDC, as of yesterday, Minnesota was the leader in the nation for having the lowest number of incident or occurrence of this disease per 100,000 people of our population, which just means that we're doing a very good job slowing this curve and flattening the curve. And so I think that's basically what we are trying to do, is let people know that it is not over yet. I know the commissioner of Department of Health stated a couple days ago that rural Minnesotans, even though we might be thinking that we are kind of safe from this because we're remote and rural from the cities where there might be more outbreaks, we are actually a population at risk, because the data shows that the people in rural and remote Minnesota are, on the average, older and have more health care concerns and fewer health care resources. So this is real, and it is coming. We will have confirmed cases of COVID here, and so we do want to continue to do our best to slow it down and protect each other.
And so that's the kind of message that you're giving the folks that are saying, when is this going to be over? That you're saying that
if
it's a process.
If they look at the data, I know that it's inconvenient for all of us. It's changing our lives, but we are helping each other by doing this. And one of the things that we all can learn from the governor is when he makes his speeches, usually at 2:00 every afternoon, he does show the data that they are using and that they're changing every day to use projections and help make the best decisions and choices that he can to help us get through this outbreak with the fewest number of deaths and impacts.
Yes, as somebody who's listened in on maybe a dozen or more of the governor's sessions, I think people owe it to themselves to listen in to just see how much evidence-based and scientific modeling-based this decision-making is. This is not seat of the pants.
Mm-hmm. And I know that one of the things that we've had a lot of questions about, Leo, is face masks, and PPE is called personal protective equipment. And those are the masks that you hear about, surgical masks, and they're called N95 masks, which are for healthcare workers that are working specifically with the public and patients who might have symptoms. But because the CDC and the governor have also encouraged people to make and wear homemade cloth face masks. We're also promoting that program. And that's, we've been promoting that program in Lake County since about April 7th when we put out our So What media information,
yes,
SEW.
A clever, So What. Cleverly titled little initiative on your part, SEW,
yeah.
What Lake County. Yeah.
Right. Thank you. And I know that other organizations and individuals have previously and still been making homemade cloth masks and donating them to the organization of their choice, whether it's churches, congregate care facilities, et cetera. And so we're not interested in competing with those people, but we are working to coordinate since the face mask campaign has grown exponentially, which is a good thing. We would like it if every person in Lake County had a face mask to wear, or possibly two, so that they could wash them and or leave them out overnight and alternate. We're aware that not only is Rotary Club and Lakeview Memorial Hospital and several churches doing face mask drives, but also on Friday, the governor announced his Face Mask to Fire Halls program, where he is encouraging everyone who can make and donate face masks to drop them off at our local fire departments this coming Saturday on April 25th from 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. And that comes as, that's kind of a quick timeline for us, for people to sew masks, but also for us to prepare for this, because not every fire hall in the state is staffed during that time. You know that all of our fire departments in Lake County are composed of volunteers,
right,
and they have unstaffed fire halls. So the good news is that we've heard from 6 of our local fire departments that they are planning to staff those fire halls so that they can accept face masks being dropped off this Saturday from 10 until 2. And that includes the Two Harbors Fire Hall, the Silver Bay Fire Hall, Finland, the Morris Fall Lake Fire Hall up near Ely, and Ely, the City of Ely Fire Department, as well as Brimson Fire Hall. So all of those will be open, and that's just a marvelous community project that's going on. These face masks that are donated to these fire halls will then come back to Lake County, and they will be distributed to our highest priority people and most vulnerable citizens, and mostly those will go to congregate care facilities, which we know are at the highest risk right now.
Thank you for that clarification, BJ. We had a very concerned and very constructive listener who just wanted to know how maybe all of the different efforts might be coordinated, such that I think her concern was is that all of the PPE go to those, kind of the priority list for where it should go, that I wasn't clear that those masks brought to the fire halls would be going to just a particular group of first responders or not, but you're saying they're going into a pool.
They are going into a pool, and the governor is, and I just was on a call earlier today with the state fire marshal's office, and they are requesting that those fire masks that come to fire halls are prioritized for congregate care facilities. These are where people are being taken care of who are usually elderly and might have some underlying health conditions, and they and the people who are working with them are pretty much our highest priority audience right now for these masks.
And the masks that go to these drives are specifically the home-sewn masks, or are we talking about any type of mask? In other words, if somebody still has N95s sitting in their back closet, they need to get them to these drives?
If they want, this is for homemade cloth fire masks.
Okay.
It's a citizen-driven,
yep,
challenge. If you have PPE, which would be the surgical mask or N95 mask for healthcare workers, we are accepting those at Lake County Emergency Management or Lake County Health and Human Services as well, so they can contact us. And if you look at our Lake County website, right on the front page, there's a big red button that says COVID on it. If you click on that, it has information not only about some of the governor's talks, but about the homemade face mask and how people can volunteer. And it has a link for businesses also, so that businesses can put in their information about if they're open and when and what services they're providing, and then the public can look at that as well. And we're also partnering with the Lake County Chamber of Commerce on that. In fact, that link on our webpage will go right to the Lake County Chamber of Commerce's open for business list. So we're working together with a lot of partners to make sure that we're all on the same page and helping each other out. We're working with not only our Health and Human Services people and the State Department of Public Health, or Department of Health, but also our healthcare preparedness coalitions, our Community Health Board, Red Cross, our healthcare providers like the Lakeview Memorial Hospital. Our community partners in Two Harbors, North Shore Area Partners, and Northwoods Partners are the people that are helping us get our essential services to people who are quarantined or isolated or staying in their homes and unable to get out to buy food or prescription medications. We're working with the long-term care facilities and Minnesota Veterans Homes, the schools, municipalities, townships and cities, the Chamber of Commerce, as I mentioned. Also our faith communities. We have a liaison who's working with most of our faith communities, making sure that we're in touch with them and how they can help us and we can help them. And lots of other businesses and groups. So we're pretty much trying to stay in touch and help coordinate all this so that we're all doing the best we can together.
That was an impressive list of connections across the community. It swirled in the mind as you went through it, BJ. I know I can let people know that we also have a link to the So What Lake County mask donation information release on our ktwh.org website. You can see, in fact, most, if not all, of the Lake County Emergency Management releases. And so you can get the contact numbers to call, whether you're in Silver Bay, Two Harbors, or in Finland, to try to find the best sites for bringing the masks and when. I really appreciate all of that, BJ. What are you looking forward to next? Are you thinking that you're going to be in this kind of alert mode for weeks or months, or is it completely open to letting history show us what it's going to show us?
It is fairly open-ended, as you mentioned, Leo, but we do know that it's going to go on for a week or month, and possibly longer until we get long-term solutions like a vaccine. But I know that the governor has extended his stay-at-home order until May 4th, and then we'll see if it's extended beyond that based upon the data that changes every day. And Lake County, just last week on April 16th, extended their declaration of emergency, and that allows us to do some things that we couldn't do if there were not a declaration of emergency. It allows us to work with some regional and state partners and share funding with them, and that's our plan, and we'll see how long that's extended as well. I know that the resolution that our board passed stated that it's a continued state of emergency until, and it will remain in effect until determined by the board that it can expire. So we do have a lot of meetings going on and staying in touch. In fact, I do have another meeting in just a couple minutes with some of our partners regarding the mask program, the So What program, and coordinating with all those partners who are also doing mask drives. So I appreciate your time and helping us get the information across to the public. And we sure appreciate not only our volunteers, this is National Volunteer Week, which is good to pass on to a lot of our people who are responders in this community, our volunteers. And so we appreciate that. We appreciate that the citizens in Lake County are sharing their concerns and comments with us and their ideas and suggestions, and that they're continuing to hold the line and stay at home, because our stay-at-home order is still vital, and we thank you for your compliance.
Thank you, BJ, for all of that attention to detail and the big picture. I appreciate it very much, and I suspect that we'll speak to you again maybe in the coming month into May, and wish that things stay where they are now, as you said, with Minnesota performing above the curve, keeping the curve flattened, and that meaning we're above the curve in terms of effectiveness compared to many other localities in the country. Thanks a lot for being with us. Yeah.
And we appreciate your service to help keep the public informed.
Thank you.
Your volunteers, too. Thanks, Leo.
Yeah, indeed. This is volunteer-driven radio waves. That's true, BJ. And I know you work with so many volunteers that I'm sure you're thankful for on Volunteer Week. Thanks a lot for joining us on KTWH today.
You're welcome, Leo. Take care.
BJ Kolstad, the Lake County Emergency Manager. You're listening to KTWH.